As I was preparing the message this week, I came across a story, and I want to share that with you. It was a story about a small company that decided they wanted to have a new health insurance plan. But the only way they could do that was they had to have every employee sign a card saying that they would switch to that health insurance plan. So as the week went along and the month went along, everybody was signing up, and it got down to where everyone had signed up but one person. And so his supervisor called him into the office and tried to have a discussion with him about the importance of changing and the benefits of the new policies, and the guy wouldn't sign. And that went on, and so finally it came down, they were running out of time, and he was called into the office of the president of the company. And the president of the company took the sign-up card and he laid it in front of him with an ink pen, and he said, "Sign this or you're fired." The guy picked up the ink pen and he signed it. The president of the company said, "I just don't understand." He said, "You know, we tried to talk to you and explain to you all about this before and you wouldn't sign up, and why wouldn't you?" And he said, "Well, I never had it explained to me this clearly before." You see, it's important to have things explained to us clearly, isn't it? I mean, that's such an important part of our life, isn't it? And especially when we come to these stories, these scripture stories, it's so wonderful to understand them and have them explained to us clearly. Too often, scripture stories are important not only for what's said in the scripture, but for what's not said, for the gaps, for the things that are left open and unaddressed. And unfortunately, sometimes we can hear stories so often that they become routine. They become regular and everyday. And so we'll hear the story and it's like, oh yeah, we hear that story every Easter season. We hear that story about Mary going to the tomb. And so instead of really listening to the story and the words and the gaps, we just kind of guess what the meaning is. We surmise it, or if you're from Indiana, you figure it. You just figure it out, and you guess this is what the story is and what it means. But this is a powerful story today that we're going to talk about, because sometimes we find out in Scripture that when we really look into it, when we look at the meaning, when we look at the pauses, when we look at the gaps, we're surprised by what God is doing. It's an amazing thing when God surprises us, and this is one of those stories. Because it's a story we know all so well. We know the story of that week before Easter, the week we now call Holy Week, and the story of Jesus being tried, being convicted and hauled before the crowds hollering for his crucifixion. We know the story of his death. And then too often, we just want to rush ahead because we know about Easter. We've read about it, we've heard about it, we've heard sermons on it. And so we want to rush to Easter. And we miss the pain and the struggle of what's going on. Can you imagine how Mary Magdalene felt? Can you imagine how the disciples felt? All of those followers of Jesus early that Easter morning, before anyone had went to the tomb, before anyone knew that the body was missing, before anyone had any idea of the resurrection, can you imagine the pain and the intensity of what was happening? John Masefield wrote a poem entitled The Widow on the By Street. And in the poem, he tells the story of this woman who had an only child who committed a capital crime. And he was arrested and convicted and sentenced to die. And finally, he was executed. And on that day, after the execution, in her grief, in her mourning, she said this: "Things are too broke, too broken to mend." Have you ever felt like that in your own life? Have you ever been confronted by something in your own life that it made it seem like things were too broke, too broken to mend? Like the weight of the situation was just pressing down upon you? Perhaps it's been something in a financial situation or a relationship. Perhaps it's been something in a health issue or an abuse issue. And you feel like there's just no hope and there's no help and the energy is drained from your life. I think that's the way the disciples must have felt. The things were too broke, too broken to mend. I mean, they had no idea what was going to happen. And we find them being confused by the whole situation. In fact, if you look at some other scriptures, in the book of Luke, two disciples, it says Cleopas and another disciple, were walking to Emmaus. Jesus came up and joined them, but they didn't recognize him. And what they did and said to Jesus was their disappointment, their frustration, their anger, their hurt. They said, oh, this Jesus came along and we put all this faith in him, and now he's dead, he's been executed. They were frightened and scared. And how about a lot of the other, where were the other disciples at? They all went and locked themselves in the upper room. They were frightened that the authorities, the Romans or the Jewish authorities, might come after them. And so they were scared and frightened because they didn't have a clue what was happening. And so they were hiding away. And then we come to Mary of Magdala, a little town that sits a few hundred yards off of the Sea of Galilee. Mary was from this little town, and here she was, and she'd had a broken life. Now, some people used to think that Mary was the prostitute that washed Jesus' feet, but we really come to believe now that Mary is the one that Jesus healed of demon possession. And she knew what it was like in her life to have her life overwhelmed and taken away from her. She had no hope. She was living in the dark every day for years until Jesus came along. So she knew what it was like to have no hope. And it's this Mary who makes her way to the tomb early Easter morning. It's this Mary that, in spite of the fear of being arrested, the fear of crucifixion, that comes because she has a mission on her mind. Matthew says she's come to prepare the body. She wants to put the spices on the body. She wants to take care of this person that she came to love so much in her life. And so Mary makes her way to the tomb. She knew what it was like to have her hopes dashed, but she came anyway because Jesus had come and brought light into her life. Jesus had brought hope into her hopelessness, and that's such a good thing. I mean, it's so important to have hope, isn't it? It's so important to have hope to cling on to, even in the darkest night. In fact, sometimes, we were just talking about this the other day at worship, and I said, there is a movie about two men in prison. And they're in prison for life. And the one says he doesn't want to have any hope because hope only disappoints you. And in the end, he comes to use this line and he says, oh, hope is a good thing. But sometimes it can be hard to have hope in our darkest hour. And in this story today, Mary comes not probably with hope, but she comes probably with anger at what's happened to Jesus. She comes with fear at what might happen to her. But she comes in her faith to the tomb to be with Jesus. Got to stop for a minute. I think we call these, if we do these in plays, an aside, don't we? Let's have an aside. Let's talk about who's really heroic. We're preaching on heroes. And it's so easy to see the disciples all as heroic. And just to go to jump right to them, but I want to walk through that part of the scripture for a minute. It's Mary that goes to the tomb. It's Mary that goes back and tells the disciples and gets them to come running. And then when they get to the tomb, there's this interesting phrase in scripture. They looked inside and they believed. Now, it's so easy for us, looking back and knowing about Easter, to say, oh, they believed in the resurrection. But that's not what they believed. They believed what Mary had said. And what did Mary say? Someone has taken his body. They looked, they had to see with their own eyes, and then they believed. And then what did they do? They rushed right back to the upper room and locked the doors. If they would have believed in the resurrection, if that's what they would have been talking about in that moment, and the scripture says, by the way, they didn't know the scripture that talked about Jesus being raised. And they would have went and told people. They would have been inspired. They would have been so on fire to know Jesus was resurrected. They had to share it. But they were scared and frightened still, and they went back to the upper room. And so what does Mary do? Does she know any more about the resurrection than those disciples? No. But Mary knows for some reason deep within her spirit that she needs to stay and remain. And so she stays in the garden outside the tomb, and she begins to weep and to mourn. Sometimes the world we live in we kind of say you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to show your emotions. But showing emotions is a good thing. And Mary begins to let the emotions flow and the tears flood down her face, and she is mourning. Maybe Mary was thinking when she stayed there, maybe she could find Jesus' body, and a dead Jesus was better than no Jesus at all. Because she was clinging on to Jesus in his human form. I'm not sure, but I do know she stayed and she remained. Maybe, it's because she had no place else to go. Have you ever been in a situation like that? When things were crushing in and you had no place else to go? I think that's what Mary did. And Mary was heroic because she was real. And she laid her life on the line and she began to cry and to show her emotions and to show her tears and to show who she really was. And so she wept. And in the midst of her weeping, an amazing thing happened. She hears a voice calling her name. Isn't that amazing? I mean, can you imagine being in the midst of your tears and the one you're grieving over calls your name? Trevor did it so perfectly when he read the scripture today, because I could just experience that presence, because we may think that when the name was called, that maybe Jesus shouted her name to overcome the tears. But instead, with the calmness of someone trying to comfort someone he loved that was in grief, Jesus said, "Mary. Mary." And she heard her name. In the midst of the tears and the mourning, she heard her name. She heard the voice. She recognized the voice. She recognized the voice of the one calling her. Make no mistake about this. Mary didn't find Jesus. Jesus found her. Mary wanted to go find the body, but she didn't get to. Jesus found her. Indeed, in her own life, in that own glimmer of hope, in her own mourning and weeping, somehow in the darkness that was around her, she kept the door open. And that's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, when you've suffered for a long time, when the struggle's been a long one, when the grief's been overwhelming, when you've been in a situation that just never seems to clear up, when you've lived with pain, or illness or abuse for so long that you can't see any light, you still have to leave a crack in the door, and Mary left the crack in the door. And she heard Jesus. And he said, "Mary." And she recognized the voice. And I think there was something deep down her that almost instantaneously must have just went off like a lightning bolt. Somewhere deep inside her, she may have remembered hearing somebody at temple read the psalm. And she might have remembered those words in the psalm where the psalmist says, "And our crying will be turned to laughing. And our mourning will be changed to dancing." Can you imagine how she must have felt like dancing in that moment? Oh, it had to be a special, spectacular moment. It just hit me. I said, in the church, we used to sing this hymn at Easter, and I never really liked the hymn, but it had this one line in there, and I just thought of that must have been the reason somebody wrote this line. They must have been dealing with this moment. And they wrote this line, and it says, "Up from the grave he arose." Never one of my favorite ones. But man, in this moment, didn't you think Mary had to be thinking that and living that? "Up from the grave he arose. Man, I'm dancing. I'm laughing. I'm full of joy." What a great moment that was for Mary. Mary somehow knew now that things were better. You know what I think heroism is? Heroism is, especially in demonstrated by Mary of Magdala, it's hanging on when you don't want to, when you feel like letting go. It's just going through and gritting it out when you just as leave give up. It's crying when you don't think you've got another tear left in your body. It's weeping and mourning at the right time. And it's knowing as long as there's a God that nothing is too broken to mend. And that's the reminder that Mary brings us in her heroism. That with God, the door is always opened. The stones will always be rolled away. The tomb will always become empty. And Mary shows us the way by hanging on when everybody else was hiding and frightened and weren't sure what to do. She wasn't sure what to do anymore either, but she hung on and the door was opened. I want to share a story with you as we move towards communion today that is a true story, and it reminds me of the importance of hanging on and of knowing that nothing is too broken. It's a story about a young boy named Philip who was 8 years old, and Philip had Down syndrome. And Philip went to church, and he went to Sunday school. And he went to Sunday school, and occasionally the other kids in the class would make fun of him. Because, you know, sometimes Philip would be slower than everybody else. He would get things wrong. He wouldn't have the right answers. And eight-year-olds will sometimes be eight-year-olds. And so they would pick on Philip and make fun of Philip. But he came anyway. The Easter, when he was eight, the Sunday school teacher had said to the class, I've got a project for you. What I want you to do is I want you to take one of these plastic eggs. You know the kind I'm talking about that are empty? You could open them up and you can put stuff in them. And she said, she gave one to each child in the class and said, I want you to go out in the churchyard and I want you to find something that represents the resurrection, new life. Yeah. Oh boy, they all went out and then they were supposed to come back to the class, and a few minutes later, they all gathered back in the class, and they were going around the room sharing what they found, you know, things like bugs and leaves and buds and all those kind of things. And Philip could hardly sit on his chair waiting for his turn to come. And when it came to Philip's turn, he opened his egg, and it was empty. And all the kids began to just ride him and make fun of Philip once again. And Philip began to weep. And Philip began to get angry, and he said, I didn't get it wrong. It's just like the tomb. It's empty. And that means new life. And then Philip ran out of the class crying, and all of the children, the teacher said, were silent. It's a good story, isn't it? It's a good story if it ended there, but it didn't end there. That very summer, Philip got very ill, and Philip died. And all of the children in the Sunday school class, for some reason, had a change of heart since Easter. And they all wanted to go to the funeral. And so she took 12 of them, the Sunday school teacher and 12 eight-year-olds, to Philip's funeral. And they all wanted to go up front where the casket was, and the casket was closed. And on top, there was this cloth and a nice picture of Philip. And so they all went up in mass, the whole class, up to the front, right by Philip's picture. And when they walked away, there on top of the casket, right around the picture, were 12 empty plastic eggs. Somehow, they knew that not even Philip was too broken to mend. And maybe somehow they knew it was really Philip that got it right on Easter morning. Think about that today. And think about what God is doing in your life. Think about what you've had that might be too broken to mend. And realize nothing, absolutely nothing with God, if you leave the door open, nothing is too broken to mend. And I hope you can see that clearly now. Thanks be to God. Amen.